2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 11. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning that you would use the Word of God in print to connect us to the Word of God in person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Last week, we introduced Simeon Peter, a man who, on the one hand, knew very well what it is to fall, and yet, on the other hand, knew what it was to finish well by the grace of God. And now, at the close of his life, he's writing to people like us, exiles, under difficult circumstances, and is encouraging us with the idea that God has given us everything we need in this life to finish well in relationship to Him. I look at these verses 3 through 11 in our text this morning, as a road map to heaven. That's where it concludes. Look at the end of verse 11. In this way, the way Peter has just described, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is this way? For anyone who will turn from their sin and walk in faith with Jesus Christ. Well, let me break it down into three parts. First is an assertion. God has given you everything you need to finish this life well with Him. That's verses 3 and 4. Secondly is an application, verses 5 through 9. What does it look like to live that out? And then thirdly is an appeal, verses 10 through 11. Make sure you're on the right path. So let's look at these one at a time. First, the assertion. God has given us everything we need for the journey, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things, everything you need, that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God has acted in His divine power. His divine power, verse 3, to give you everything you need to live well in this life, to finish well in this life, particularly His divine power to accomplish your salvation through the death and resurrection of Christ, an accomplishment that none of us could accomplish on our own. Peter says He's done all of that for you. And there's two great truths that stand at the forefront of everything that we've been given that pertains to all life and godliness. The first one mentioned in verse 3, the knowledge of God. See that? He gives you the power through the knowledge of God. And then in verse 4, the promises of God, by the promises of God. These are two gifts that every follower of Jesus Christ has. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the knowledge of God and you have the promises of God. And he's saying through these two things, you have the fuel for the journey of life. You have everything you need through the knowledge and promises of God for the journey of life. So what do we need to do? We need to cultivate those things. We need to cultivate our knowledge of God. We need to cultivate our willingness to believe in the promises of God. How do you do that? Well, friends, it's so simple. You do that by becoming people of the book. This is where the knowledge is contained. This is where the promises are contained. This book is the vessel through which God changes lives. This book, these promises, these words, this knowledge is the vessel through which God changes the nature of humanity. Peter says, if you focus here, you will tap into the divine power granted to us for all things that pertain to life and godliness. I want to know about that. That is powerful stuff. He says, so that through them, these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. My goodness. He's not saying we'll become God, but we will share in the divine nature as we devote ourselves to these promises and knowledge so that we become transformed into the image of the divine. What an incredible promise. Having escaped, he says at the end of verse 4, from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You can just picture here. Men, women, children bogged down in the quicksand and the muck and the mire of the sinful nature of this world. But as they devote themselves to the Word of God, they are ascending to heaven. They're holding on to that cord of life, the Holy Scriptures, and they're being pulled from the muck and the mire of this world. And we're being pulled closer and closer and closer to the gates of heaven. That's where this is going at the end of verse 11. So we have to ask the question, in light of this truth, is your highest goal in life to increase in your knowledge of God? Friends, let me suggest this morning with the Apostle Peter, everything else this world has to offer pales in comparison to devoting yourself to growing and cultivating your knowledge of God through the Word of God. You can never have a relationship with God while at the same time abandoning the Bible. There's a lot of folks out there that claim to have some kind of relationship with some kind of God, but won't have nothing to do with this book. You can't. This is the key. This is the fuel. If you want to be rescued from the muck and mire of this world, hang on to this rescue line, and you'll have everything you need. That's the assertion. In light of that, what's the application? Well, Peter moves on to remind us that continuing in the faith, growing in the faith, requires a roadmap. We're on the road to the eternal kingdom of our Lord. What does it look like? Well, salvation is a monergistic work. God gives you the gift of regeneration. You do nothing. You do nothing to contribute to that. God gives you the fuel to live this life and live it in godliness to the end. You do nothing. It's monergistic. But once you have that gift, once God has acted in applying his divine power to accomplish his salvation in your life, now we have something. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Now we have the promises of God. Now we have the ability to cooperate in our sanctification. Yes, Presbyterians, you cooperate with God. Not in your salvation, but in your sanctification. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you that enables you to do that. St. Augustine said, grace is given not because we have done good works, but in order that we may be able to do good works. You don't earn grace. You receive it. But once you've received it, it's time for action. Or as Peter describes it here in verse 5, for this very reason, the fact that God has done all of this for you in Christ, given you his divine power through his word, through his promises, for this very reason, verse 5, you make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That's the roadmap that leads to the kingdom of heaven. This is the pathway. If you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, here is your roadmap as to how to proceed going forward. This is the pathway to pursue. And you'll notice here, each virtue is built on the strength of the previous virtue. One leads to the next, to the next. And each one is taking us farther and farther and farther from the muck of this world and closer and closer and closer to the door of the kingdom of God. In other words, the Christian life begins with God acting on us, and then with the power of the Holy Spirit, it is a journey of becoming more and more Christ-like and less like the world and the flesh. All powered through an increasing knowledge of the Word of God. It is a mistake to think that salvation by faith alone means your faith never has to work. Friends, the Christian life, the Christian faith should be a faith that works. It should be a faith that sweats. It should be a faith that toils and grows and stretches and increases and makes progress. We are like the man who was dead and flatlined spiritually in the ER. And God has come along and shocked us back to life with his power. He has brought us to the hospital of the local church where we're still sinners, but now we're struggling sinners. We've got a breath of life in us by the grace of God, and it's time to get to PT. It's rehab time. It's spiritual growth time. It is effort that Peter is calling for here. Make every effort, he says in verse 5. I love this word. Supplement your faith. Supplement your faith. You have your faith alone that is the basis of your salvation and your relationship with Christ. Now supplement. Or as Paul said to Titus in Titus 2, adorn your faith. Put some feet on it. Make it concrete. Demonstrate it. Show it. Virtue. That's doing the right thing regardless of the outcome. That's what Christians should do. Knowledge. Well, that's the fuel to the whole operation. Peter mentions knowledge 5 times in these brief 3 chapters. The entire life of a Christian should be one of continuing education in the Scriptures. Self-control, that's saying no to the old sinful nature. Steadfastness, that's longevity. That's understanding that the Christian life is not a microwave, it's a crock pot. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's important that you start well, but it's more important that you finish well. Steadfastness. Godliness. Peter defined godliness in his first letter as good works. Submission, suffering, service, remember that? Brotherly affection, that is treating Christians as family. And it should not surprise us that the roadmap to heaven ends at the doorstep of love. God is love. But as J.I. Packer said, only Christians can claim it. God is love, but only a Christian can claim that. So this is Peter's roadmap to heaven. This is Christian discipleship in a nutshell. Peter says this is how you keep from falling. This is how you become an effective disciple of Christ in this world and in the eternal world to come. And we know this because he goes on to tell us in verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." Our faith must always be growing, and to think otherwise is foolish. It is to be blind. This is the roadmap. You live out verses 3 through 7 and you will find your way home. I was thinking the other day, this is the membership vow that we take when we join the church. Now that you have the Holy Spirit, now that you have the divine power that grants to you all things that pertain to life and godliness, do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ? In a nutshell, this is what becomes the followers of Christ. This is what Christian life should look like. This is what those who are on the roadmap, on the road to heaven, should look like. Let me give you a personal testimony, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've had the privilege of serving in this church for 21 years now this summer. Came here in the year 2000, it was a 2-year internship, then I was going to be gone. Here I am by God's grace and in his providence. And I want to tell you, one of my greatest joys, one of my greatest encouragements is to be on this side of that amount of time and to be able to look back and see exactly what Peter is talking about here. To see the number of lives that have changed just through the consistent day by day, week by week, year by year, now decade by decade, nurturing in the knowledge of God through the ministry of his word. Friends, verses 5, 6, and 7, I don't say this to brag. This describes our congregation. It does. There will always be exceptions. There will always be people who are a little farther ahead than me, a lot farther ahead than me. But what an encouragement. You start out a ministry and you know it in your head. I believe it in my heart that the ministry of God's word changes people. But then to actually see it, I've got a front row seat to seeing lives changed bit by bit. People centering on the word of God, abiding in Christ and seeing fruit and not getting caught up and turning to the left or to the right, but just sticking right here It changes individual lives. It changes marriages. It changes family. It changes our children. It works. It does exactly what Peter says it will do. A story was told of a young lady at the close of a church service that focused on international evangelism. And the young lady admitted to an older lady, "I just can't get interested in evangelism and missions." And the older lady said to her, "It's like getting interested in a bank. Think of it this way. If you don't have any money in the bank, you have no interest in the bank. But if you start putting some money in the bank, you start to return some literal interest. And you begin to take note. You have to put a little something in before you start to get something out. And the more you put in, the more you get out." That's a simple principle. And I would suggest that's true of just about everything in life. If you find yourself not interested in something, it's probably because you've put nothing into it. Peter says here, in the Christian life, verse 8, you can start to find yourself ineffective. You can start to find yourself unfruitful. You can start to find yourself disinterested. You can start to find yourself drifting away, ineffective to the things of God. And I think he would challenge us this morning with the question, what are you putting into it? Are you engaged in the regular reading of God's word? That's how you increase in the knowledge. That's how you tap into this divine power that Peter's talking about here. Are you engaged in the regular study of God's word? Are you engaged regularly, consistently in the worship, both corporate and private, of the God of the universe? If you're not, no wonder you're disinterested. I had a young man recently tell me, "I'm just not that interested in the things of God, but I want to be." And my response to him, "When's the last time you went to church?" "Oh, it's been a couple months." There you go. Peter's emphasizing here, you need to put effort into the Christian life if you're going to be fruitful. That's the application. Finally, an appeal. Peter closes with an appeal. Verse 10, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter was a man who failed Christ miserably on the night that he denied him 1, 2, 3 times. And you know, one thing Satan would love perhaps more than anything else in this world is for when someone stumbles, someone falls, someone sins, for them to think in their mind, "I can never reconcile with God again." Don't you know that had to have at least been a temptation in the mind of Peter after denying Jesus 3 times? "I can never be reconciled to God again. Once I have fallen, I have failed him, and that's the end of the story." Well, Peter is saying to you this morning, that's not true. Peter says, don't believe that lie. "I fell, and I'm finishing well by the grace of God." And you can too. God offers grace. God offers hope. God has already given you everything you need. Repent. Get back on the roadmap to heaven and finish the race by the grace of God. Heavenly Father, you have given us the true knowledge of God in your word. And we ask that you would help us to hold tight to your promises in Christ. Encourage us and strengthen us, each person, to supplement our faith with godly qualities. And on that day, may you provide an entrance for us into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.